Alright, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Uncanny Valley. It's Masturbation Day. You know what that means? We're back with more AVNs. Or maybe you don't, because this is a new thing. But yeah, you're going to get a bunch of AVN teasers and other games we've never played before on the channel. So let's go ahead and get started with Chasing Sunsets. This is probably going to be done after Leap of Faith. So if you like Leap of Faith, this is what you're going to get next. And it's similar, by the way. This has actually got a really good story, I've heard. To spare your ear holes, the volume level for music and sound is set to 50 by default on first run. Chasing Sunsets will remember any manual adjustments to these settings. That's built in Renpy. All sexual situations in this game are depicted as occurring between adults of a consenting age. It's fiction. Names and characters are entirely the products of the author's imaginations. Any resemblance to people you know is a coincidence, whether they're living or dead. And while the story is fictitious, it may derive certain elements and details from real-world historical events. It contains mature themes and is targeted towards a mature audience. Stuff you already know, but we have to get the legalities out. Yep, I am at least 18 years old, or no, I am not 18 years old yet. I am 18. Glad to hear it. Welcome to Chasing Sunsets.
Give me the underage version. I'm a boy of 15. No.
You will play a male character in Chasing Sunsets. What would you like to name your character? I'm not using that. Okay. I like the render models. For this playthrough. Oh, this game wants you to do multiple playthroughs. We have prepared a brief primer which will explain the UI and points concepts to new players. Let's do a primer real quick, guys. Welcome to Stone Fox Studios' first effort at creating an adult-themed visual novel. We wanted to create an experience in which the player enjoyed the story as much as the sex. Ooh, I like that. And it's our hope that we've captured the vision here. Let's hope so. Here is a brief overview of the game concept. If you played a Rempy visual novel before, the mechanics should feel familiar. Story begins with a prologue, takes place in the past. It's a good idea to pay attention here, as it contains many clues which will add depth to the present story beginning in Chapter 1. Because prologue choices were made in the story's past, they have potential to alter important facts in the present. Oh. Okay, let's get to the game. The road not taken. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged into a wood and... Well, it was a Robert Frost poem, and of course you have... You can read it. O'Halloran's Pub, Boston, present day. Shaking off the fall chill, you enter the old brownstone. Ugh, it's cold. I should have grabbed a hoodie from the truck. You are greeted by a familiar, craggy face. Hey, pal, we're not open yet. Grim, is that you? Hey, Walter, long time no see. Wow, since graduation, right? Yeah, 7 years, give or take. Feels longer. Would have been right before I bought the bar. I kind of like it, or it's seen better days.
Kind of like it.
Okay. It's got character. Walter allows himself a brief, proud smile. That's one word for it. This building has good bones, but the interior needs updating. I need to start turning a profit to even tackle the safety code violations. Are things that bad? It's the rent around here. We small fish are getting squeezed out. You nod sympathetically. Have you considered looking for investors? I've thought about it. But this is my dream. I don't need some not-so-silent partner calling the shots. So how's business? Walter smiles ruefully. I run a New York Rockets bar in New England, and a New England nationalist town. Oh, shit. May not have been my best business decision, but if I rebranded now, my Rockets fans would riot. A generous poor buys a lot of goodwill in Boston. Should I have the Boston accent? Oh, I don't like it. I was talking...
Give me a cup of coffee,
I was talking to a girl from Boston, and she was really nice and cute, but, oh, her accent drove me crazy. We were talking online. You know, she was in her house, and... Oh, you have this... I was like, oh, I couldn't do this the rest of my life. You're a nice girl, but I can't do it. Pouring Heavy also break. That woman also sent me 43 videos of her fucking masturbating. True story.
Well, I mean,
I can deal with that. That's
because someone's gonna have to overlook mine, I'm sure.
Right.
But that, I don't know. Mine's more.
She also told me to clean
things. Can I put up with that annoying thing the rest of my life?
She also told me to. Thing? Said you need to clean your room. I'm like, yeah, gee, thanks, Mom. But I have a lot of clutter.
Your balls taste funny. Shut up, bitch. I soaked them for you. That was for a minute.
Pouring Heavy also brings unwanted attention from the liquor board. That's why the door was open when you got here. We're closed until evening, but the inspector is due today. Is it a bad time? Of course it's not a bad time. You're practically family. At the mention of family, Walter's expression softens. Look, kid, about... Yeah, thanks, Walter. The older man gestures to the bar stool directly in front of him. Ah, sit down, dammit. It's quite a shock seeing you old enough to walk in here without James. That's a man who took parenthood seriously. Hell, it took me longer to name the Wi-Fi here than it did to name my kids. An unfamiliar voice interjects from behind the kitchen door. He's not even kidding. The man agonized for weeks before finally picking pub Wi-Fi. Let's try that again. Pub Wi-Fi for you, for Christ's sake. Why not eyebrows for days? Yeah, yeah, keep slicing limes, Angelo.
Play that piano.
He was no help at all. Nice enough kid, but dumber than a box of hair. Walter pauses a moment before continuing.
That's pretty dumb.
Step-parenting is a tough gig. James used to tell me all the time how proud he was that you called him Dad. Walter slides a glass of brown liquor towards you across the bar. You both reflect a moment in silence before raising your glasses to drink. So don't keep me in suspense. Where have you been since graduation? You wouldn't believe me if I told you. If I had a nickel for every time I've heard that.
No, what it sounds like to me is Mr. Rogers having telling a story. You know, touching yourself is quite natural. You touch yourself? God. I touched myself yesterday.
Oh, God. I don't condone that. I am a bartender, you know.
And then you hear at the door. Uh-oh, it's Mr. McPhilly. Let's go see if he brought us something. A fleshlight? Wow, just what I wanted.
Oh, Jesus. Well, it is National Masturbation Day. This story, I bet, would shock even you. You savor the smokiness of your drink, relishing its pleasant burn. What are we drinking? This is an 18-year-old Balvenor single malt. I get it costs for about $700 a bottle. I save it for special occasions, and for upselling to high rollers who pay for the whole bottle after two shots. Oh, which am I? Today, that depends on you. Depends on me how? Depends on whether your story behind that disappearing act surprises me or not. Well? You gaze at Walter thoughtfully for a moment. How long do we have before you open? About 3 hours. Plenty of time. And the liquor inspector? Angelo, I have company here. Double time today if you can handle the inspector and prep for opening solo. You got it, boss. Seems my day has just opened up. One of the perks of being the boss. I really don't know how long I have, though. Hopefully I don't get cut short. Family commitments, you understand. Walter's eyes suddenly narrow suspiciously. Now wait just a damn minute. Where's that crazy sister of yours? Does she know you're here? I really don't need that kind of trouble today, Grim. You gulp your scotch to hide your amusement. I was going to say embarrassment. I wouldn't rule out the possibility. Walter looks at you at a loss for words. Promise me that if she walks through these doors, you'll leave. And I mean leave peacefully. We'll settle up on this wager later. I will not have another dust-up like your graduation party in my place of business. I promise no dust-ups. Relax, Walter. We're all adults here. What should I say?
What? No dust.
No dust ups or relax.
Relax, Walter. We're all adults here.
You want to use that one?
Sure.
Okay. Look, Graham, I'm happy to catch up with you, but I don't need Hurricane Campbell today. I don't think you have to worry about that. Maybe I'm overreacting. Walter regains his composure as you chuckle at the memory that caused him to lose it. So, do you want to hear this or not? Sure, lay it on me. But since we're on the subject, what is it with you two anyway? For the life of me, I can't understand how you kids couldn't get along. Well, I'm not proud of it. It's not like we were always fighting. It just sort of started small and then got out of hand. It's also connected to where I've been the past few years. It's as good a place to start as any. My sister and I were pretty close in the beginning. Love is the foundation anger like this gets built on. You don't say. The opposite of love isn't hate, Walter. It's apathy. That kind of resentment takes effort to sustain. Walter snorts. Don't you think you're a bit young to be spouting relationship philosophy? Walter looks poised to continue, but thinks better of it. My sister and I were born on the exact same day, you know? I knew you shared a birthday. But same year, too? Figure the odds. I am older by about 6 hours, but yeah, exact same day. I kind of felt like we were twins, too. Jay started calling me bro even before Mom and James got married. She was sure that we were going to be a family. The birthday coincidence is what brought our parents together to begin with. Mom was working downtown for a pharmaceutical company. I remember not seeing a lot of her those days. Pfizer Pharmaceuticals, Boston, 16 years ago. Sarah Forrester was reviewing test results when she heard voices nearby. Something in these effectiveness metrics isn't adding up. I'll need to look into the double-blind numbers again. The voices grew louder as their owners approached. I'll need to wrap up around 2 o'clock. It's my daughter's birthday today. Hearing those words, Sarah's heart sank. Oh, shit, 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 shit. I've been so focused on work, I forgot my son's birthday. As the nearby conversation ended, one of the men turned to leave. The other continued in her direction. Good morning, James Campbell, sales and marketing. Is this desk free today? I don't see any personal belongings. I just need a temporary place to work this morning. Nothing personal at her desk either. So visitor, a workaholic. You may be in luck. I think that was Samantha's desk. I hear she relocated the Seattle office last month. I'm just visiting myself today. I have an office at the Curie building. She's got kind of a chilly beauty. Let's see if we can break the ice a little. Do you mind if I settle in here for a bit? I'll be as quiet as a church mouse. You won't even know I'm here. James flashed his most disarming smile. Sales and marketing, I can always tell. Irritatingly smooth, charm for days. By all means. Sarah smiled cordially. Make yourself comfortable. I'll be busy, though. You've reminded me of something I forgot to do. Thank you, Miss Sarah. Sarah Forrester, R&D. Wait, Dr. Sarah Forrester? In spite of herself, Sarah blushed a little hearing him use her title. The same Dr. Forrester who led the Pregnia Project? Your name is on like a third of Pfizer's profitable patents, rather. That was my team, yes. James' enthusiasm was palpable. I've literally built my reputation at Pfizer selling your work. Marketing does pay bonus and commission, you know. He almost seemed starstruck. Sarah felt both flattered and embarrassed at his intensity. I can't take all the credit. We all worked very hard. Really, Sarah? When did I get humble? Of course. After an awkward pause, James pulled himself together. Here, I promise to be quiet and I'm going all groupy on you. Oh, no, no, no. I didn't read that right. Here, I promise to be quiet, and I'm going all groupy on you. I'll let you get back to what you were doing. James pulled a laptop out of his briefcase and powered it up. He's handsome and hasn't tripped my player alarm yet. I might have to ask around and find out more about him. What are you working on over there?
It is color mixing. You mix two colors, and you see what they get with these.
Okay.
And then I'm trying different things for skin tones.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I might have to ask around and find out more about him. Later, though, I have to focus right now if I'm going to come through for Grimm tonight. She searched the web for nearby bakeries and card shops. I've already picked up the gift for Grimm. And all I need now is a cake and a card. After a few calls, she was able to order a cake from Jen and Barry's... Yeah. Jen and Barry's shop near home. I said that right. One job down, one to go. I might be out of luck on the card, though. Maybe James knows where I can get one near the office. Sarah startled slightly when she looked up to find James staring back at her. I overheard you tell that other gentleman that today is your daughter's birthday. Yeah, she's turning 8. Wait, what? Your daughter is 8? My son turns 8 today, too. James rolled his chair over to where Sarah was sitting, fumbling with his phone. This is Jay. She's my whole world. She's so beautiful. But your wife might have something to say about her being your whole world. Jesus, why did I say that? James' grin faded and his eyes turned grim. Oh no, I shouldn't have said that. I'm so sorry. Breast cancer. Jay was only 2 at the time. Sarah politely gave James a few moments to collect himself, feeling awful. I feel like I'm watching, like, Young and the Restless or something. It has that. That's why I came to Prizer, really. Being part of a company working on a cure. I might not have a scientist's brain, but I wanted to work with people who do. People like you. You know, we had trouble conceiving. My daughter was only possible because of pregnia. We were a clinical trial. I can speak, I promise. Sarah blushed in spite of herself. I guess the irony is that cancer research was my passion. Yet I ended up in fertility. Go figure. Though I won't be winning any Mother of the Year awards. I totally forgot it was my son's birthday today. Until I overheard you talking about your daughters to that gentleman. Don't beat yourself up too badly. Jay only reminded me this morning as well. Sarah felt tears coming out of nowhere, but choked them back. Work just seems to be fine. Blah, blah, blah. Work just seems to be where I find clarity. But at what cost? It's always Grimm who pays for it. There's just no class for combining moms and world-class researchers into super parents. Or single dads and marketing executives, apparently. We just have to do our best to figure things out as we go. Now, I'm going to leave it there. I know there's not like any real like sex and stuff, but it is in this game. This one just really wants to be a story. So, if this is interesting, you guys, and I did say it has a good story, and they mean it. It has a good story. I mean, it has a story.
Well, you know, they're laying out.
Yeah, they're laying out everything.
Yeah.
And that's cool. That's good writing. The guy's a good writer, and it's coming from a writer. So, if you guys like this, let me know, and we'll do more of it, even though we are supposed to do it after Leap of Faith anyway, so. All right, at any rate, this is the Grimlord, and I'm out for Grimm's Uncanny Valley, and we'll see you next time.